Welcome back to another episode of Cardi Dads. And this episode, it is, to me, probably my favorite episode we've recorded, just because it gets into basic things of carding. And this is something that I have struggled with, Emmanuel struggled with, every friend that I know in carding has struggled with. And it is all about breaking things down to a checklist. Now, checklists can sound so stupid, so like minute. It's like, oh man, I don't need to check this. I don't need to check that. Yeah, I already know it's good. I know it's, you know, this is right where it needs to be. Well, you never know when it's not where it needs to be in the tenths of hundreds of thousands of seconds it could cost you per lap when you're running a 12-lap feature, 15-lap feature, or so forth, so on. So this is what this whole episode is about making your own checklist, being creative, and pushing yourself to the next level of creating your own checklist on what do I have to do to make sure that, you know, you yourself as a driver is on point, and as well as everything you've done your and your mechanics wise of your cart is exactly where it needs to be for you to find the perfect balance between you and your cart and helping you figure out the racecraft of the track on how you need to race your race to get up to the pack that you're trying to catch or lead the pack you're trying to lead. So that's what this episode's about. It's really cool. I really appreciate everything you guys are doing with spreading the word to all your friends. I mean, it's really starting to show, and I couldn't thank you guys more for what you're doing. And again, I really thank you, and just please continue to spread the word. And I hope you really like this episode, because, you know, it really meant a lot to us, and this is something that's been on our minds for a while. So hope you enjoy, guys. Please have fun carding, you know, keep it fun, keep it, be everybody, be safe, and just, enjoy yourselves, man. Thanks again.
What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. How you been?
Good. How was your cruise?
The cruise was, it was nice. I mean, that's, you don't think I can say that. It was nice. It was something different. It was nice. That's all I can say.
That's awesome,
the,
man.
The first time my wife and I have gone on a vacation, it's just the two of us, since our honeymoon 9 years ago. And we didn't realize that until, like, the third day of the cruise. We're like, man, this is the first time, like, we've actually taken a vacation by ourselves.
Yeah, funny, because ours was similar. Our anniversary this year in June was the first time in, I guess, 5 years. And it was, we're like, yeah, since we've had a kid, we haven't actually gone away for, you know, a proper weekend by ourselves. So that was kind of cool as well. So I know the feeling, man. That's pretty cool. Well, I'm glad you made it back. I was a little worried about you.
Yeah, it was, I'm glad to be back too. Well, I am, but I'm not, because it's so nice to come back to the mainland, but coming back to, like, the real world, it's like, oh, come on, man. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
And then with the hours of work on top of that, I was like, oh, I'm really not ready for this.
Yeah. Can't help you there, man. I really can't help you there. But welcome back. Welcome to some karting fun, right?
Yeah,
no karting on the cruise.
No, there's no karting on the cruise, but I was able to follow, you know, like, in bits and pieces, you know, some forums and, you know, some of the group chats we're in on what's going on. And it looks like some of the guys, you know, that we run with were actually having a pretty good time.
Yeah, Jorge was the man at the Bushnell 206. Well, just their weekly, no, not their weekly, their monthly race series, but they also had a money race, and it was a night race, and he was a beast in the master's class, and he was on it.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I mean, he's a good driver. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's a really good driver to see, like the progress, and, you know, you were taking some pictures, and I couldn't download all the pictures because
if I was in port, I could see some, but, you know, I was trying to send messages out to everybody, but it kept on saying, you know, message couldn't go through or whatever. The iPhone message or message failed. And I'm like, man, I just want to let everybody know. It's like, hey, I'll follow this. This is cool. You
know? Yeah, I don't even know why you were busy looking at your phone, man, on vacation. I was like, what? What's Andrew doing?
No, so, like, we got the, yeah, this is really stupid. And I know it's stupid, but I downloaded a bunch of podcasts that I like to listen to. So, and I knew that I wouldn't have, well, the last time I went on a cruise, there was no cell phone reception, period. No Wi-Fi, no nothing. So right. We went ahead and did the international plan on our cell phones, but the boat we went on had Wi-Fi. So I'm like, okay, well, their directions is put your phone on Wi-Fi or put your phone on airplane mode. And I'm like, cool. That means no data, no extra charges. And then, you know, you still have your Wi-Fi. I'm like, well, this doesn't make sense because, like, you go on, you know, to, you know, Facebook or ESPN or, you know, Anchor or anything like that, you know, nothing ever popped up. But I'm getting emails and I'm getting message alerts from, you know, the Facebook pages and stuff like that, but I couldn't respond to any of them. And so I'm like, this is absolutely ridiculous. So every time I was listening to, you know, a podcast, you know, I just get the dings and dings and dings. I'm like, I just want to respond, you know, just like, hey, guys, I hear you. You know, I might be far away from you, but hey, man, I hear you. You know, cool, congrats, you know. And the raft that Jorge got on his car, that was really cool, man. That was good looking. I'd like to see it in person if he still has it on, you know, for the next Ocala race or whatever race to go with him. I'd like to see it. It looks good.
Yeah, no, it was very, very cool. I took a couple of pictures, but none specifically of just the rap. But the video that I recorded, I think I did get a shot of it. So whenever I get that done here in the next few days, I'll make sure that shot is there so you can see it.
Gotcha. So So the Bushnell race went really good, huh?
Yeah, man. So I was... And I don't want to say stuck with the kids. I had the kids with me all day because their mom was out of town. So we ended up going up to Tampa to a kids museum that they wanted to go to. So I was like, oh, yeah, we'll do that. And Bushnell was only like an hour on the way back from Tampa. And the race was there was an endurance race in the morning, 3 hour. Yeah, or it might have been a 4 hour. I forgot. But there was an endurance race in the morning. And then from 2 o'clock, the monthly club race would start, and then they wanted to say 10 o'clock would be the money race, but junk didn't start till 11 something. But yeah, we stopped on our way back from Tampa, got there about 3 o'clock, and then, you know, Jorge had already run the endurance race using their rental carts, and it was cool. I think they placed fifth out of like 15 teams. So that wasn't bad.
Oh, wow. Then,
yeah, and it wasn't bad at all. I mean, he was just getting his cart ready, trying to figure out the gearing, because he'd never run a 206 there. He'd only done the rental carts the whole time.
Oh, the rental carts. So they're Hondas, right?
To be honest, I have no idea. I've never even looked at them. so, no clue, and I still didn't look at them. But yeah, I mean, I would assume they're something like that. So he was trying to figure out gearing. He had just gone out for first practice when I got there, and he was like very far off. So he made a change, and then kind of just hung out and helped him with it. And then it was kind of like just basically figuring that out was what's next and. What he wanted to do, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll just run it." And he went out for a second practice, and by changing gearing, he lost like half. He gained half a second, just like pretty cool. 6 tenths, I think, was it? And I was watching, and I'm like, nobody's gaining on him. So this is like whatever he's doing is really good. Like nobody was gaining on him. So I figured he had a good run. And then qualifying went out, and he got out, you know, he was first out on grid. And boom, like, he had pole. That was pretty cool. Like, yeah, I mean, I was so happy for him because I could see he was, I'm like, dude, he is on it. He was gaining on the cart that was in front of him that he was, you know, chasing down, but nobody was catching him from behind. So moving on from that, he started the race on pole, and then somehow, I mean, he just got shuffled backwards. Like, just went from, you know, first, and then, like, two laps in, dropped to second, another two laps. Basically, like, the guys were all, like, picking him off, going, this is a bridge, right? You go over the bridge, and, like, everybody had something better right there, and they just kept, like, training him. I mean, you know, one person, two people come in the draft, they just, you know, they take the inside line, and you just get shuffled back. So that part sucked a little bit. I was like, man, he's got the speed, but once he gets moved offline, that's it. So, yeah, he ended up dropping back to fifth. And then we made another gear change, went up to get more drive. And he was like, yep, just, that's it. That's the only thing he's doing because he's going to work on his driving after that. Like, and he said himself, he was like, man, there, it's, I just got to work on my driving a little bit. And
hashtag running out of talent.
I mean, again, the first time with a 206, so maybe not necessarily running out, right?
It's more so figuring
it out.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
But yeah, it was cool, man. Like the way he figured it out, it just took sitting down, you know, and thinking about exactly the race, where people had gotten him and all that stuff. And that's all he needed, just that one session of, like, hard running.
That's cool.
Yeah, man. And he started, he gridded up in fifth, but either first place guy didn't show up or something. So basically they were on the inside line, and he was, you know, straight up theoretically to third. And boom, went to second, and then straight to first. And it was like, dude, that's what's up. So yeah, he did really well, man. He ran like first for a long time, and then got shuffled back to third it was second. So he was in first until like the last lap, and then out of nowhere comes this guy, right? And he started like dead last. And what we find out later, he's like the local hot shoe, and he just like destroys everybody. Sort of deal, but yeah, he just showed up out of nowhere, and it's like two laps to go. The guy was in fourth, maybe 3 seconds behind or 5 seconds behind. And white flag lap, he's right behind Jorge.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, really, dude? Yeah, and then going into like the, like, I don't know, three or four turns from you know, the finish, he just snuck on the inside and just moved Jorge, like, just wiggled him, like, just, I'm like, dude. I mean, it was clean. I mean, you know, it's, he didn't wreck him, but he moved Jorge. Like, you can tell. It's like, I'm just going to come in the corner a little bit deeper, and, you know, when you're trying to get on the brake, I'm just going to keep on the gas. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just going to mess you up so you can't slow down just enough for it, and then I'm just going to stick it on the inside and just, like, yeah, I mean, it was like, textbook NASCAR, like, I'm just going to sneak up here. So, you know, but it wasn't like a punt, which is a crazy thing.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Like, he left a little bit of room there, and then, you know, he took it. So, and then Jorge lost his momentum, and then the guy in third also took second. So he finished third for that feature race, which was kind of like, whatever. But then the money race was gridded based on the qualifying and pulling a number out of like a pill, so out of a pail. So Jorge started on pole he was on pole for qualifying, but he had to pick a number, and whatever number he picked, if he picked fourth, like, he would go from first to fourth, right? And then it would invert that way. So luckily he pulled second, so he just switched first and second, and the guy in second was the guy Jorge had run with the whole time. and that guy who just moved him didn't qualify, so he was starting from the back again. Not that it really mattered, but yeah, and the money race was kind of cool and crazy. Like, Jorge started second, took the lead halfway into the race, just took the lead, like, clean move, and it was like 10 lap money race, so 5 laps to go. Jorge's leading this thing, and I'm like, he's gonna do it. And you know, that guy Matt had caught up to the guy who, you know, Jorge had passed, so second and third were duking it out, and I mean, nobody was just giving him room, so they were actually fighting, and it was giving Jorge just enough room. Like, he had like 5 cart lengths, and I'm like, oh my god, he's gonna do it. Yeah, he's gonna do it. And then, nope. 2 to go, you know, that Matt guy got by second place, and then got up to Jorge, and Jorge, like, defended. I mean, it was hard defending. It was, like, 3 laps of, like, you know, that those, like, final 3 laps. Right, exactly. It was good, hard racing. And then he got by Jorge on the last lap, and then Jorge did, like, almost a copy of the move right back at him, like, moved him just a little bit. He got wiggled, and Jorge was, you know, was able to sneak in, but the guy in third had such a good run that he came by and took it, and then Jorge finished second. But I was so proud of him for defending, because, like, it's not just supporting my buddy, but when somebody's, like, a total hot shoe, and it's, like, a total ringer, it's not even fair, right? And in addition to being a ringer, he's also, like, sneakishly moving people. Like, he moved more than one person. Everybody who came in was complaining. Like, dude, like, do you not care about wrecking? That sort of thing. So I was, like, I was so proud of Jorge, man. I was like, damn, man, good job, man. Way to show him. And somebody else came up that, good job giving him a taste of his own medicine or something like that. Somebody said it. I wish I recorded that. But that was kind of the whole feeling everybody got. So, yeah, other than that, it was really cool. Yeah, it was late, though. It was like it finished at midnight. The kids were a little grumpy. They didn't want to go to bed. And I don't blame them. Like, usually they have a long, crazy day, and then on the ride home, they pass out. But they were playing out there in the grass and in the dirt until, like, 9 o'clock, 9:30. And then I finally got them settled in the car, watching a movie, but, you know, they didn't want to sleep. So they were a little grumpy, and once we got on the road, then they both passed out, and they didn't wake up till 9 o'clock on Sunday. but it worked out okay. So they got, like, 9 hours of sleep. Lucky them. But yeah, that was kind of the whole deal, man. That was the highlight for the race you missed.
Yeah, and I talked to Brian Donahoe with Little Mason, and
I didn't talk about Mason.
He had a pretty good race.
I didn't even talk about Mason. Mason did really well. He got spun, or he spun by himself trying to avoid something in his heat race, but he raced back hard. Like, he was on the charge, and he was on, you know, he's in cadets, but the other guys were on 2-strokes and like rugby's or whatever, and you know, they just all run together, I guess. But I mean, he had like such a good speed through the corners, but he couldn't catch them on the straight. But he raced hard, and you know, the whole race was focused on just sticking with those guys, catching them and trying to pass them. So he got really good. And then the feature, he did really, really well. I mean, I think he finished second or third. I think he finished third.
I think his dad said he finished third. But, yeah, I mean, just the improvements that we've seen here locally, just the track that we run at, I mean, I hate to call him Little Mason, but for some reason that just always like goes in my head, but he's gotten so fast. And, you know, if you, like, follow, I think he's 10. If you follow, like, a 10-year-old, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. But for us is, you know, we've given him, you know, video. We've given him, you know, some coaching on different ways to take turns. And his dad is putting cones out there, you know, and everything. And even Corey's worked with him, too. So, like, everything. And I know Ron is his tuner as well. So, like, Ron's working with him, and You know, some days he's going to listen and some days he's not. It's just, you know, whatever his brain is for the day because he's a kid, right? So,
yeah.
But when you watch him out there and, like, he is getting in that groove, it's like, holy moly, man, this kid here, he's fast. You know, he's
yeah.
not on, like, the latest and greatest equipment. He's not, you know, his dad's not spending all the money in the world to, you know, make sure he has the best of the best. It's just like, you know, we'll get tires out of the shed and you know, we'll race on those. And he competes. I mean, the kid's good. You know, Mason's cool, man. He's such a humble kid. On top of that, he's not
favorite thing about him, dude. He's so mellow. My God, I wish my boy was mellow like that. My son is crazy. I'm like, I wish my boy was mellow. I guess I should say, I hope my boy mellows out like that, right? And that's cool, but. Yeah, Liam was actually super excited when he saw Mason. He's like, oh, that's my best friend. I'm like, yeah? He's like, yeah, the one with the remote control car.
Yeah. I'm actually, he was playing with the kids with that little car out of school, so.
Yeah, that's, anyway, yeah, that was a good, you know, kart weekend, man. I mean, I was bummed I wasn't driving for sure. I was super sad. And the kids did really well. If I had taken the big trailer, and I could have raced, to be honest, because they were, like, so in their world and having fun. Probably not the money race, because once they got late and I was trying to get them down, I wouldn't have been able to just leave them like that. But throughout, like, the regular night race up until 10 o'clock, man, they were having a ball running around, playing in the dirt, watching movies and shows. And, yeah, no, they did really well. So, definitely, planning to take them with me next time and see how they do, for like a regular day kart race. We'll see.
Gotcha. That's cool, man.
But you had, you had something on your mind, man. Like you know, you got back and we went straight to awesome kart talk and you started talking about the little things. Hashtag, checklist.
Yeah. hashtag round checklist. So, like I was saying earlier before that I could follow, you know, some of the posts and forums and different pages that, you know, I follow on social media and on the internet. I mean, you have your own pages too. Everybody has their own pages. And, you know, I guess being out on the sea, we're not really thinking of anything. It's just like, I started reading these things and I was like, man, people are talking about, you know, making all these like these huge drastic changes or spending all this money in their stuff. And, you know, like I keep on reading down the post and, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I had this loose, I had this problem. Like, the excuses list goes, you know, forever, right? It's just, you know, it's one of those things. And I'm like, this is something that, you know, I'm not going to say we struggle with, you know, per se for excuses, but is, like, a lot of things that they're missing out is just on sick. Sorry, my kids slammed my doors. It is, like, your basic checklist things, right? So there's anybody can make a checklist for anything, you know, and we have kind of created our own checklist, whether it is a pre-race checklist, when you're at the track checklist, you know, your safety equipment checklist, your lubrications, you know, everything that you need, your tools, everything. So, and this happened to me not only at the Ocala race that I had, but also at the last test and tuning thing we did at Jacksonville a couple weeks ago, where I missed out on something so simple that not only cost me, you know, possibly tenths per lap, but it could have cost me potentially a lot of money, and that is having my seat loose. The bolt that holds my seat down on the front of the seats was loose, and I cracked the fiberglass on the bottom of my seat on both sides, and then I had a hole on the left side of the seat where the post has gone through the seat. So I just bought this really nice seat. It was a tilt seat, if anybody wanted to know, which, I mean, They're expensive. Don't get me wrong. To me, they're expensive. And there's nothing wrong with it. And I just took the, like, neglect of not checking my, the bolts of the seat to make sure that everything's tight. And it, you know, could have potentially cost me another $200-something for a seat.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and then I started, you know, thinking, like the things that, you know, used to happen with you with, you know, popping chains off or your, the rear wheel width isn't, you know, what used to be, you know, one hub is closer in than the other. Like the simple things that, you know, we kept on adjusting our checklist when we got to the track in between runs to say, okay, did we lubricate our bearings? Did we do this? Did we, you know, check tire pressures? Did we check tire temps? You know, everything like that. And the more I started thinking about it, is like the more it started to make sense is for me to catch that pack in front of me, which, you know, we've talked about multiple times on, you know, our podcast is, you know, you want to catch the pack in front of you, right? You're chasing, you want to lead the pack you're in and then catch the pack in front of you. And I think the thing that's keeping me from catching that pack in front of me is even more minute things than what we originally thought would happen in karting. So, like, in saying that is, you know, making sure your clutch shoes are, you know, not brand new, but, you know, have good grip in them. They're clean. And if you have to have two or three clutches, there's a reason why, you know, people have two or three clutches. There's a reason why people keep spare chains. You know, there's a reason why if somebody gets, you know, water on any of their bearings, they throw them away and put new ones in. They don't even risk it. And so, like, you're starting to get to, like, these minute things that could cost you a tenth of a lap or, say, 500ths of a lap. You multiply that by 12 or 15 or 10 or whatever your features are per lap. Yeah, that's the reason why you can't catch a pack in front of you. You know, then you throw your driving style on top of it because your driving style is your driving style. You know, you can't change it, but like, you know, me and you talked about, you can improve it. If you want to change it, you have to go through, you know, different driving schools and spend a whole bunch of money to, like, try to erase your memory of what you think you know to what you don't know to adapt, which isn't easy by no means. So, like, that's, like, one of those things, like, it started clicking in my head. And then when I got back to port and I called you, I was like, hey, man, you know, this is what I'm thinking about doing. You're like, yeah, man, it makes so much sense. Let's, you know, do this and do that. And, you know, let's, you know, always adjusting your checklist to something you're not used to seeing but could possibly cost you that, you know, 500ths of a second. Because it adds up per lap. So, like, for instance, if my seat being loose that, say, only on left turns, you know, I don't know, but if you wanted to break everything down that on left turns you're okay, but your right turns, it was costing you a tenth of a lap, and you're on a 14, you know, turn course, and eight of them are to the right. Well, dude, you know. Yeah, all that time's going to add up. So you can go ahead and blow all the turns that you want to aggressively overdrive because, you know, you think you have the run, but you're going too fast in not to be able to handle it. Or if someone's in front of you, you can't touch the traffic right and you lose even more time. And like, it just started making so much sense to me in my head. I'm like, the checklist. Like, I started to get away from the checklist. And I'm like, you know, I was relying on Dad because, you know, me, you have a checklist and then Dad has his own checklist and I rely on my dad a lot, you know, for help me. And then he helps you and he helps everybody in our camp as, you know, he kind of asks everybody what they like. And, you know, Dad kind of does it. And I'm like, okay, I am now over the basic stuff. Right.
Right.
And the basic stuff is, you know, wheel lugs are tight, air filters tight, you know, you have fresh oil, your hubs are the same distance, your chain is lubed, your bearings are lubed, you know, you're good to go. Okay. Well, after that is you just went off track or whatever, or your rear tires are saying circumference around. You know, and you start going through those kind of things. And then you start going to, if you drop to a lower driver in a smaller rear sprocket, you know, it's less rotational mass or, you know, distance that everything has to travel. Like, it keeps on going and going and going and going and going. So, like, you made a good point about, you know, references of, you know, elite drivers aren't better than elite drivers is, or elite teams aren't better than elite teams. It's just somebody's doing the finer details better.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what the big teams represent, right? So, I mean, I'll skip Formula One. Let's do something like IndyCar. So everybody knows, you know, Penske, Ganassi, Red Andretti, those are the top teams, right? The talent at those teams that win races, the engineers, those engineers typically go with the drivers from whatever smaller team they started at, right? So, like, the current champion is Joseph Newgarden. And, you know, Joseph took his engineer with him from ECR at Carpenter Racing. And he didn't just magically, right, like, you know, just go there. Oh, it was the engineer at Penske who was letting them win. Or, I mean, yes, and Roger has resources that most people don't have. But IndyCar, for all intents and purposes, is spec racing, right? It's more so the resources to do all the little things right, right? The resources to make sure your testing is over the peak. But for the parts that are important to us, the resources to make sure they practice their pit stops, to make sure all the equipment is on point, right? And that's where I want to take, you know, my biggest lesson from. And I'm going to be, like, totally personal with it because I don't – like, you do really well with this. You get home from the kart race and, like, we should give each other a little bit of time to debrief. And like 75% of the time it's, yeah, I just finished putting everything away, you know, and, like – I'm like, oh, yeah, right, because you take your motor off every time and then you clean the kart every time. And that's, man, it's something small that I don't think about, but it's so critical because I was looking at my kart last night and I have, like, gunk buildup, like, all around it. So it's like, man, that sucks. That really sucks. I got to take everything off and clean it. And, like, little bits of stuff is, like, caked, you know, and it'll clean off. Right. But emptying that can of brake clean at the end of the day, and I'm not saying you get home at midnight, you have to strip everything down. No, it's not, you know, even dirt racers sometimes leave their stuff over and let the clay cake on until the next day. But making it a point for myself, like, that was one of the things I'm like, man, if I really want to start doing well, I mean, I've had the same gunky bearings, you know, that came with my Ego. And when I got it, you know, it was the bearing that I've been on there, and it's a 2016 Eagle, so that tells you just do the math on the life, right? It's a mechanical piece. So, you know, I spin it, and it doesn't really rotate freely, and I just still haven't changed my bearings. And I'm, like, sitting there going, well, dang, Navitz, right? Like, when we were testing, Ron basically emptied a whole can of brake clean into the bearings to get them to rotate freely. Just because, like, he, you know, when he helped me make that adjustment to lowering my chassis and raising my axle, it was just spinning my tire. It was just basically getting stuck. Like, you just spin it, and then it just binds up and locks. And he was wondering, what the hell's causing that? It's like, my axle bent or something? And it's like, no, it's your bearings. And so, like, yeah, I just drive through it like I don't care. But, man, those are all the little things that cost us. And maybe it's not a full tenth, right? But, you know, my bearings alone maybe costing me, you know, 200s or, you know, something like that. And then slacking your chain maybe costing you another, you know, 100s. By the time you put together all the little things that you haven't done right, you know, you lose seat, right? All these little things, you put all those things together, you're looking at, you know, 2/10 or 3/10, and then it starts making, you know, a big difference over the course of a race.
Right.
Now, sometimes, You know, it's like, oh, it's, you know, you didn't lose a race because you were, you know, 2/10, you know, slower, but that 2/10 may hold you back from being able to execute the pass, right, when you need it. Like, you get that
exactly.
perfect run, you know, you make that perfect run and you're, like, ready, you know, ready to go commit to it, but on that lap where you just need that little edge, that extra 2 miles an hour, right, to be able to actually make it stick, you're not able to do that because, you know, you're just, your stuff's not dialed in. That's really where my brain, you know, is pulling the biggest, like, lesson from it is, yeah, I mean, sure, you put it together, and if all of it equates to just a tenth, sure. I mean, that's not why I'm not winning the overall race, because I was a tenth a lap slower. God knows I can't even be consistent across half a second over my, you know, my entire stint. You know, that's my goal right now. If I can keep the entire stint within 3/10 or 4/10, I'm happy. Because, you know, sometimes, man, some days just suck. I just can't be consistent. But, you know, when you need to go and make that pass, that moves you up one spot. Because when, you know, if you're driving the perfect lines and your equipment is up to snuff and you're starting, you know, in 5th or 6th or 7th or 8th place, and the, you're running the same lap times as a guy who's in first place, every lap you know, are not able to run that full lap because you couldn't pass the cart in front of you because your, you know, your junk isn't right. That's, you know, more time they're getting away from you. So by the time you find clear air, you know, you better be running, you know, super quick lap times, right? Like a maniac to close that gap. And I don't have that, you know, I don't have that talent. You know, on my best day, I know I'm like just a little bit behind. So I don't need to be given up anymore, right? If I can get my stuff together so I can make sure for the things I can control, and that's what it always comes down to. The things you can control, things like making sure your equipment is you know, in tip-top shape. You know, clutches. I mean, I took my, you know, my old clutch shoe and looked at it. I mean, after you sent, you know, you posted a picture of your clutch shoes and how they were, you know, glazed over. Well, I pulled mine up, and my gosh, like, they're not worn down, but the grooves are melted through, right? And it's like, oh, there's plenty of meat here, but it can't bite any of it because it's kind of glazed over across. It's like, Emmanuel, just a Dremel, man. That's all you need. You know, it's like, so anyway, those are those things that I think, I thought it was great that you brought it up because whatever is, you know, whatever you're able to control, you may not want to buy, you know, all this new stuff every race. That's not what we're saying. But the little things that you can control, like making sure the first thing that I have learned now is making sure my throttle cable is tight. Like, as soon as I get to the track in the morning, one of the first things I do as I run my hand across my cart is check, right, check that my throttle cable is going 100% before I pull that, before I pull the motor to start it. Because I went like 2 or 3 races where I wasn't getting full throttle. And it's like, Ron just stood at me and looked at me. He's like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, he did the same thing to me the last time I went out. I told him, I'm like, dude, I dropped, you know, I went up another tooth and I could still only get to like 5790. And he's like, was your throttle cable tight? I'm like, I don't know. I've never adjusted it, you know. It's always been the same. And sure enough, the slide wasn't going all the way up. He's like, "What, dumbass? This is why." So, no, it's like things like that. But you know, so like people beat themselves up, you know, mentally about their driving style, or you know, something's wrong with their cart, or you know, whatever, and you know, start spending a bunch of money and buying tools and equipment that possibly not be needed. And it's like, hey, man, start with the basics. Start with your basic checklist, you know, your pre-race checklist, and then go to the checklist that you make in between runs, and then your post-race checklist, you know, and we've said this a number of times on the show that races are not won on race day. They're won, you know, the 6 days before that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going back to those things. It's like, you know, just sometimes you just have to do like a little reboot on your psyche of yourself. It's like, okay, I'm missing something. I know my cart is dialed in the way that I like it. I know that my tire pressures are right because I've proven in the past that this was right. I'm missing something. what is it that you're missing? Take the time to, like, sit back, think about it. It's like, okay, is it a seat? Is it my throttle cable? Is it, you know, my hub might have my rear hub might have slid in, or, you know, whatever it is. There's so many little things that can go wrong, and those little things add up to those, you know, a tenth or 800th of a second per lap. And those 800th of a second per lap times 10, yes, that's the reason why you can't catch that pack in front of you. It's not you. It's not your cart. It's the things that you're missing, you know, on both ends. It's, you know, it's not an individual thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and on top of that,
like,
right?
It's just like, it blew my mind. It's like, I can't believe I'm thinking of this, but this is something that's like, it's real. Like, it hit me. It's like, this is real. This is a real struggle.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we started, right, once we said this year we paid for our first big race, the Maxxis race, and, you know, we followed our checklist. You know, we didn't have the mechanical, you know, boo-boos, right, that typically happen. And I think you and I both sort of have it somewhat memorized, maybe not in the same order, but we check those basic things quite often. And we've hardly had an actual mechanical failure, right, on a race day. So that's good. Now we just need to take it to the next level, right, because, you know, those little things, you miss them. And those are things that, in addition to costing lap time, even worse, could cause your day to end, right? I mean, those are just those simple things. If your chain isn't tight or your seat breaks loose or something, right? And that's what happens, you know? You didn't check a little nut and bolt and something comes loose and it flies off and, well, you know, that's it. Day done. Right. And even worse, obviously, you know, it could happen at a bad spot, losing a wheel, you know, in the middle of a high-speed turn or something, and that just is no-go. So, I've got, you know, a couple of checklists that I've picked up from places, but I don't have any dedicated to doing all these little things. And, again, it's like this is how we are interpreting it. Like, we love the concept of checklists. You and I both – I know I don't get anything done unless it's on a checklist. And, you know, your manufacturing process, everything is a checklist because of manufacturing. So it's like you kind of hate it, but you understand the value in there.
Yes.
And I just know from my experience that if it ain't on there, you know, you guys made the joke at Ocala when we went there, like, God bless me, I better not get Alzheimer's or something, because I'm like the most forgetful person in the world.
Yep, yep, yep,
my wife will totally leave me in a minute. But yeah, I mean, for me, I need to create those items, right? It's like when I get home from a kart race, I need to start doing these things. And,
yep,
you know, I always dreaded, like, if I touch something and I don't get the time to finish it, I'm like, oh, man, then my cart's going to be in pieces. Then, you know, my work week, you know, everybody's busy, just how somehow my busy tends to show more than I would like it to. But, you know, I could go the whole week and I wouldn't even find 30 minutes to step away into the shop. So it's like, man, if I come home and I take things apart and something happens, you know, one of the kids is crying, I come inside and I start taking care of them and I'm tired, it'll be, you know, the Friday night before the next day, the next race, and I haven't, you know, my axle is completely apart, right? My rear end is completely apart. So I've always dreaded that. But now I'm getting to that point where I'm like, okay, this takes this amount of time. You know, it's always something. Sometimes you need more time than you think, but
yep,
I'm getting better and better at figuring it out. This takes this amount of time. This takes that amount of time. So if I get home from a race, I need to dedicate the extra 30 or 45 minutes to making sure, take the motor off, clean the chassis right around there, make sure if I got any gunk or anything right there in the bearings, empty a can of, you know, brake clean into all the places I need it, and then if I have time, put it all back. Like, everything is, like perfect. Like, in those scenarios, if I can just write it all down and do my best, start building that habit for the things I do, you know, when I get home from a race, the things I check before I load up for the next event, right? If it's 2 days before the event, this is what I'm doing. Because I got that way with the car, which is actually kind of cool. After after the first wreck, you know, it was like, okay, if my car ain't ready to be loaded by Tuesday of that race weekend, I ain't taking the car, right? You know,
right,
period.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You know, because you remember, like, I crashed because I just didn't have time to fix little things, and I kept thinking that I had to be up there. It's a race weekend. I have to take the car because I have to be there. I mean, I have 17 race weekends in 2014 and 2015 between Southeast and Florida, and it's like, oh, it's a race weekend. I have to take a race car, and I have to load it even if I haven't done what I need to. But then I learned the lesson the hard way after crashing a few times. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to not
yeah,
load the car.
Yeah, fix everything.
Exactly. Like, you know, and if it, and Jim Pantis, you know, who's our regional director for NASA Southeast, he has a similar philosophy. Like, he was messing with a Corvette that he has, and he put a bigger brake kit on there, and he hadn't checked the wheel he had. He went to put the wheel on and you know, try and get the car, and the wheel wouldn't clear the rotor, so it got, you know, he was stuck pulling it out, and he was scraping. He's like, nope, he just left the car at home. I mean, he has all the resources, right, to get it done. If he brought the car to the track, he's got all these people who could work on it and sort it out for him. But he is, you know, he's the one who taught me that. He's like, nope, just leave it. We'll live to fight another day, right? It's not the end of the world. And so that's sort of that mentality. I had that with a car. I just need to get myself to that point with the car to where it's, hey, I have a race coming up, you know, next weekend. I know this has to be done by, you know, the Thursday or the Wednesday, because if it ain't done, I can't be ready. And so I just need to build that habit, and I'm going to be good. So, I'm going to start writing my stuff down. And, you know, if anybody has stuff like it, you know, if anybody got, like, good checklists and stuff, please share, man. Once I get mine together, I'm definitely going to be contributing that and sharing that with people, because, you know, if I figure it out and it works for me, there might be another person just like me who could get some value out of it. So that'll be one of the things I'll be working on for the rest of the year.
Yeah, we have, like we mentioned before, we have some pretty good checklists that we follow that if you guys want to know what it is, just let us know either on our website or on Facebook at Cardi Dads. It will be happy to send it to you. I mean, it's we've done a bunch of research, and we've gone through, you know, different, you know, kind of ratings on, you know, what a good checklist is. So yeah, I mean, we'd love to help you out on anything you have, and if you have, you know, feedback on, like what Emmanuel said, on stuff that you do, you know, there's always something to be learned, right? So if you go a whole day without learning anything, it's a wasted day. So that's the way I look at, you know, life in general, you know, especially at a track, that if you go to a track and you learn absolutely nothing about your own self or your own cars or your own abilities to work on something, what did you accomplish, right?
Right.
So, yeah, man, that's like one thing I just wanted to get off my chest for a little while, is, you know, this whole checklist thing, because it just makes so much sense on why people hire race teams who do other checklists for them, right? So we work mainly with four-cycle motors, so when it comes to, you know, carbs and jets and pistons and rings and stuff like the cycle guys have to go through, and, you know, so many hours, like, we don't really have to pay attention to that. But if you're a two-cycle racer, you have to throw that on top of everything you have to do with your chassis. So, like, that's just, like, it can get so difficult. So, you know, people, if you need help, you know, just ask somebody. If somebody doesn't want to give you help, whether they're, you know, in their car dealing with the same chassis manufacturer, the same motor or whatever that you're running, you know, maybe they're just the right kind of people to hang out with. And we've come across those people where you go ask them and say, hey, you know, I have this, you know, will you help me out? They're like, oh, yeah, just do blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
Well, I haven't even explained anything to you, so how are you going to tell me to do that? So, you know, I guess it's just karting.
Yeah, definitely, just karting.
It's just karting.
Yeah, and, you know, more props for 206, right? If I had to do anything else other than just these simple things, I'd probably dread it a bit more. And, you know, we say this, nothing against anything else, but it's just considering our situations, right? Like, that's just where we are today in our lives. You know, we're carton dads, and, you know, we're just figuring it out. Like, you know, it takes me more time trying to come up with a plan of how I'm going to do something, which is very basic and straightforward, compared to somebody who's done it already, right? You know, we just,
yep.
That's just it. So my time, you know, just ends up being twice as long, so I have to be careful. And for me, that's why I like the 206 so much. At least I don't ever have to, you know, touch the engine. The only thing I have to worry about is, oh, man, for some reason it looks like my idling is off, or I need to make sure my carburetor, my slide is going all the way, right? Or I forgot to drain the carb bowl from fuel, so maybe I got some gunk in the needle, right? So
yeah,
you know,
that's something
sure that
I never
clean.
Do too.
Yeah, well,
I never drain the bowl. I mean,
we committed to running ethanol free.
Like,
you know,
yeah.
Like that's what we did. We made sure we only run ethanol free all the time. So because of that, like I know that helps for sure. And then, yeah, I mean,
we don't drain the oil when it's hot. I mean, there's so many things. Like, it's just, there's a reason why people do things the way they do it, whether they're in front of you or behind you. You don't know what the person behind you might do to catch up to you if you just stay status quo, right? So you have to always change your mentality in karting. It's like, what can I do to make sure that I am the best that I can be on the day I need to be? And I think that's like the message like I'm trying to get across is we've talked to a lot of people who just bash themselves up about, you know, my car's not doing this or it's not doing that, you know, whether that's like the excuses books that we couldn't write a whole series on. But you say, hey, did you check this? Did you check that? Did you check this? Well, no, no, no. Okay, well, stop beating yourself up so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop taking away the fun of what karting can actually be when you put, you know, if you're like, for instance, like people like you who are like into like analytics and math equations, it's like, dude, that's what karting is. It's just a big equation. Is if you leave part of your checklist out, your equation will not equal out to what it needs to be.
Right.
So you have to constantly go back and, I mean, that's what it is. It's just a problem, a word problem, industry you're in that you understand that there's, you have to figure out a problem. That's all karting is. Yes, it looks easy, but it's not. You have to put so many letters together, so many numbers together, so many, you know, different situations, the problems together to make it work. And as soon as you make it work, it's boom. It's in your checklist. It's right where it needs to be, and you'll never forget it again.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
I mean,
you'll never.
And I'll add to that, because if you think about it, yeah, some of these things we're saying may seem like, hey, I'm not interested in doing all this work. I have the way I do my things. But at the end of the day, if you are enjoying yourself, you know, you're riding around, you'll want to find ways to get quicker. I mean, I'll give a great example. In our group, we have, you know, Scott. And Scott, I mean, I know Scott is just like me. He's just out there mostly for the social, right? And then the driving comes in, right, as part of it. But he also wants to get quicker. He wants to run. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't go out there testing, you know, and saying, hey, I run a 42.2 by myself. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
we're all
right.
Trying to get quicker. And if doing some of these little things helps, you know, helps us get quicker on track, then it's going to be even more enjoyable. Because at the end of the day, if you can race close to someone and you have this slight, you know, tenth or two tenths, you're the one who's going to be smiling the whole time.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Like, you know, I can pass you whenever I want, you know, or at least
yep.
Like, I have to commit to it. But if I put my head down, I can get you. Yeah, man, it's like, go, I'm going to chase you because I know I'm just a little bit quicker. I can keep up.
Yep.
Like, go,
exactly.
Go. I mean, it's all so much more fun when all your stuff is together and running you know, in tip-top shape. So that's why we want to do it.
Exactly. And once you, like, you master your own checklist, right? So you, the checklist you have that you think is right up to the point, then you have the quote-unquote racecraft, right? So you learn how to race with what you have, whether it's, like you're talking about the guy with Jorge kind of moving him out of the way in certain turns, and, you know, Jorge was figuring it out. It's like, okay, this is the racecraft of this track. This is how I have to do it. So, like, right. Once you get to your checklist and you have everything working with you in your own mind, in your own body, and your own cart, then it becomes a racecraft, right? So you time everything perfect. You learn how to pass. You learn how to draft. You learn how to follow. You learn how to lead. Like, all those things start to dial in, and so you have a new experience. No matter what track you go to, as long as your checklist is on point, then your racecraft can be on point. But if you're fighting your checklist, your racecraft is also going to be fighting yourself, because, like, what is my cart doing? Oh, all of a sudden it doesn't like this turn. Oh, it doesn't like this turn. You know, why am I inconsistent in lap, you know, 7, but lap 2 was perfect? Why can I not take the turn like this anymore? Why are my, you know, laps faster at the end of the race than they are at the beginning of the race?
Yeah.
You know, like, all that stuff, you pull in your data, all that stuff starts to come together. Like, that's the thing, like, this whole episode is about, you know, in my opinion, is just because, like, all of it made sense to everything that, like, we've been talking about, you know, not only on our podcast, but, you know, individually and with, you know, the group that we talk with every day. It's like, okay, all this is starting to make sense. Like, this is why people do karting, because it's not easy. It's just not easy. It's fun. Like, karting is a lot of fun. Like, Kart Pulse always says, keep karting fun. Well, now we're starting to get to the point where, okay, we figured out where that fun is, and it's finding out this problem. Now we have to, you know, really investigate this problem and start breaking everything down into, you know, smaller problems to get to that one. So, yeah, I mean, if you guys have, you know, thanks again for listening to the show, but if you guys have anything, like, you'd like to put onto this show, any comments, any suggestions on what you guys do or what you guys have figured out throughout the past, you know, let us know, you know, because you know, there's something that, you know, we like doing, and it's a lot of fun.
Definitely.
Definitely. So, yeah, man. Well,
all right, brother. You got anything else to add to that, or I think we wrapped up pretty good there.
Yeah, I think we're about wrapped up, and you know, we got our friends to go hang out with. So, yeah, man. You know, please continue to tell all your friends, continue to share, because, you know, it's starting to get really, really popular now, and people are really starting to comment on a lot of our shows, and, you know, we appreciate it, and we like reading all the messages and the emails and answering all the questions you guys send us. So please continue to send them. Please continue to tell your friends, and I couldn't appreciate it more. So you guys have a good night, and have a good weekend karting, and we'll keep you up to date on what we got going on.
Later.
See ya.